on many farms and ranches, we're just getting into calving season. My brother Tom, who's right older than me, is the one who took over the farm, and they just had their first calf the other day. They named the calf Joe, after my dad, because it was born on the Feast of St. Joe, Feast of St. Joseph's, and is also a stubborn little calf. So they appropriately named it after my old man, Joe. It's also beginning on farms and ranches the other season of fencing. Those of you who grew up on farms, you know what that's all about, right? After a winter, maybe this winter didn't do a whole lot of damage, but when you get a lot of snow, the snow will come in, drift up, and it'll break a bunch of the barbed wires on the fences. And so you have to go out around the pasture, and you have to go and fix all the fence that's along there. And for those of you who didn't grow up on a farm and a ranch, a pasture is a big place of grass that you put the cattle out into, that they're able to graze for the summer. And the fence keeps them together, and it keeps them in there. Now, if you could talk to the cows, and they would be able to understand, because all they're looking for is the weaknesses in those fences, you'd be able to say, listen, cow, you need to stay in here in the pasture where you're together, and this is a safe place, because I know it doesn't look like it. You don't see that there's a lot of dangers out there that you don't understand, like that alfalfa field, which is right next to the pasture. Yes, that looks really delicious, and you're going to go feast on that all day, and you're going to end up on your side bloated. Or our pasture was right next to Highway 83. You try and explain to a cow that if it gets out and wanders up on the road, and all of a sudden an 18-wheeler comes by, or if it wanders into the wrong neighbor's wheat field, well, then it might just get a gun, and that'll be the end of it altogether. But a cow doesn't understand. Doesn't understand. And so you need a fence that has no holes. We hear in the reading from the prophet Jeremiah this morning that God promises that he's going to make a new covenant with his people, which is different from the old covenant that he had made. The old covenant, the one he's speaking about, was the one in which he took his people from Egypt. And he said he had to take them by the hand and bring them back to himself, because Egypt was that place of death, that place of slavery. A covenant, even as you know, a covenant in marriage is what keeps two people together. It keeps them in union with one another. It protects that communion between them. So if you can imagine this whole space from here on back being union with God, being together with God, which right now Deacon, Server, and I are the only ones, and everything out here is being separated from God. What God did is he took his people by the hand and he brought them back into union with him. And what he did right after he brought them out of Egypt is he gave them another covenant. He gave them one of the old covenants in the Ten Commandments. This law, which was made of stone, but it was a law which was meant to protect them from wandering off back into that place of slavery, from wandering off into the place of eternal death. But unlike the fences that you build for cows, God's old law was much like this rail here. It's not one that fences you in. You could pass freely outside of it. We need that freedom because it's only with freedom that we're able to love. Cows, I know this is a newsflash for some people, cows can't love. Human beings can. We have a freedom. And because we are able to have that freedom, we're also able to hate and to reject. But because we have that, we're able to love. And so God gave the old covenant so that we might stay with him, in union with him. But he says the day is coming when I will give you a new covenant, which is not going to be made out of stone, it's going to be made out of flesh. It's not going to be the walls of the Ten Commandments, but rather it's going to be the walls of God's own heart that's going to keep us in union with Him. His very flesh and His very blood is the new covenant. And this transforms something. It's like we all needed a heart transplant. No matter what God would do in the Old Testament, His people kept on wandering off. He would bring them back, all of them back here. And you know what they would do? Like sheep without a shepherd, they would wander on off. And He saw that what they needed was a heart transplant. And so He gave a new law. He gave them new hearts, His own heart, so that we might remain with Him at the very depth, in the very deepest part of who we are. And that we might be transformed by that as well. And this changes the whole picture of what it means to be with God. Have any of you ever heard of or seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge? The movie Hacksaw Ridge about Private First Class Doss. It takes place during World War II. And he's a conscientious objector. He was in the military, but he wouldn't bear arms. But he was within the military, and he was a medic at the Battle of Okinawa in Japan. And in the midst of this battle, he was a medic in which those who were injured, they would bring him back and he would treat them. But in the midst of the battle, which erupted and was bloody beyond comprehension, he himself went out into the battlefield as he heard people screaming, "Come, save me, I'm dying." And he went out and he took them and he lifted them and he brought them back to safety. And then he would go out again and he would hear another person screaming, "Help, I'm dying, I've been shot." And he would go and find the person behind enemy lines and he would pick them up and bring them back. And every time he would go out, he would pray, "God, just one more. Help me to find just one more." 75 men total at that bloody battle he had brought out who were dying in the midst of the battlefield. He had brought out back to where they were truly safe, where they could be healed. God gives us the old law and he fulfills it with the new law. But here's the thing about us. We don't want God's law. We don't want his fences that he gives us because we like building our own fences. Imagine a cow in a pasture that decides to build a fence around itself because it finds out that, wow, there really are awful things out in the world that can kill me. So out of fear, it builds fences around itself. Problem with this is that we weren't meant just to survive life. None of us survives life. We were meant to live life. And I'm not talking about living recklessly or living selfishly, like YOLO. The kids talk about that. You only live once. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living with a purpose. Living with the words that Jesus speaks, that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a grain of wheat. But if it falls and it dies, it will produce fruit. We can live in a way in which the world in which I'm living, I recognize there's a lot of bad stuff, but I just want to have my comfortable life. I want to have my little safe space where I know that things are bad out there, but I'm okay in here. But what God calls us to, and what he gives us when he gives us new hearts, when he gives us his heart, is to be like Private Doss. That, yes, this is life with God, but there are many who are out in the midst of a battle that we're all in which it's a battle for powers that are after our soul. God has a plan for your life. The devil has a plan for your life as well. And this is a bloody battle that's taking place. But what happens when we encounter God and we have him alive within us is we're able, like Jesus then, to go behind enemy lines and to find those who are living out in a place of slavery and death and to bring them back to communion and union with God. To go, God, give me one more. One more, Lord, help me find. That we live in this way in which we're not afraid of being, our life being lost. You know the most beautiful funerals, and I'm sure you've been at them as well, are people who truly lived their life in a way in which they recognized that their life was a gift. And what did they do with that? They made a gift of it to others. Their life wasn't about them. But instead, their life was about being that grain of wheat, and you would see it at the funerals because you saw the fruit that their life bore because they weren't afraid of it being lost. They weren't afraid of death because they chose to die with Jesus each day. They died to themselves, and they lived in a way in which it gave life and it gave fruit. This is the incredible thing that God gives us in the new law. He gives us new hearts. He gives us his heart, which looks to seek and to find those who are lost. And in our lives, you don't have to seek far. It's the people in our families. It's those friends who you know who you're close with. It's to live a life in which we're continually praying for them. We're seeking them to bring them back to God. Because in the end, everyone, in the end, there's only one truly safe place. And that is being in union and communion with God. Being with him. And in the end, there's only one truly dangerous place. And that's being separated from God. But if we have him alive within us, and if we live our lives as a grain of wheat, which is not afraid to fall to the ground and die, we will bear much fruit. We will bear much fruit.